Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 78 of the Pause.com Entertainment Podcast. We are your hosts.
Tony.
And I am Lou. And how are you doing today, Tony?
I am well.
That is good. What is going on?
Holiday spirits.
Holiday spirits. We're surrounded by it.
I'm referring to the eggnog I had this morning. Holiday spirits.
Spirits, plural. I see. Is it giving you any more holiday spirit than you would normally have?
Slightly, yeah.
Yeah?
And I'll have a holiday headache later in the day.
So there you go. Thanks for that one. Do we have any?
Wow, you want to jump right in, huh?
Well, I don't know. You stopped talking, so I figured there was nothing else going on.
Oh, this is usually where you blab about something or something other.
No, I just ask you what's going on, and then you tell me. And then hilarity ensues, but you stop talking, so there will be no hilarity.
I got no.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been put on notice. For the next hour and a half, nothing funny will happen.
Click.
Click. Exactly. Good night. So what about listener mail?
Yeah, we have a little. Not a lot.
Okay.
Although I had encouraged a lot when I posted something earlier, but that's okay. You're busy with your lives.
And their holiday spirit, I'm sure.
Actually, Jason put a really funny news story here about a Chuck fan. Well, let me read the story.
Okay.
Loading.
Are you doing that on a computer? Are you doing that on...
It is on the iPad.
That's
it's loaded.
On the iPad.
I got it.
Okay.
So, I got it.
Is this a Flash-based website?
Here we go. An Oregon judge has allowed a man to change his name to Captain Awesome.
Nice.
Douglas Allen Smith Jr. says he changed his name last month because he was inspired by the nickname of a character on the television show Chuck, Dr. Devin Captain Awesome Woodcomb.
Of course.
The Lane County judge questioned his seriousness but eventually granted the request by making him swear he wasn't changing his name for fraudulent reasons.
Is that all it takes now? So if you're a criminal, if a judge says, do you swear you're not a bad person? You go, yeah, I swear.
Right.
Yeah, totally.
Well, in Oregon, who's going to do, you know.
Yeah, right.
It's not really the crime hub of the
world.
Country. Yeah. Awesome said the judge also allowed him to sign his name as, this is the best part, as a right arrow, a smiley face, and a left arrow.
That is, in fact, awesome.
However, his bank has refused to accept the signature because it could be forged too easily.
There you go.
So.
Wow.
Jason, that's funny stuff.
Thanks, Jason.
Jean also has a little comment here. She wants to talk about the new Top Chef All-Stars, which we will.
We will, yes.
And... well, she talks a little about that as well. I'll leave that out. And Golden Globe nominations are today. Any comments?
Okay.
Well, actually, it was yesterday. But
right, when she wrote that.
Yes, I will have comments.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that stuff. Because there's some weird stuff going on.
There's some
weird stuff going on in general.
There's
with
some really weird
awards
stuff.
Awards programming
right.
In this country right now.
I will tell you that.
It's craziness. It's all craziness. That's it? That's all we got?
Yeah, that's
What's wrong with you people?
I know.
What, are you busy shopping for the holidays?
We're Stritch. We're Steve.
Yeah. Where are you guys?
Where's Dave?
Where's Yvonne?
Where's Beth Kim?
Beth/ Kim?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know where all these people are.
But I have to say, I mean, we've been getting the stats for the downloads, and they're slowly creeping up.
Yeah.
Which is good.
So that is good.
Thanks for
telling
your friends.
Somebody else missing. Lori? Where's Lori?
Yeah. You know, at the very least, wish us a happy holidays.
Don't you have some friends who used to post stuff who disappeared?
I've got nothing from any of them.
What's up? What's up with that?
I don't know.
I don't know what's going on. It's the holidays.
Yeah.
I'm going to give people a pass.
Okay.
Because it's the holidays. All right. So do you want to go into video games?
Sure. I don't have a lot in video games.
Yeah.
I've been, whatever.
wow.
But I have tried playing.
Don't expect any comedy or transparency on this show. I've been doing a lot. Whatever. Moving on.
I have been playing, well, trying to play. Actually, I gave up. Spider-Man Shattered Dimensions. It's actually a really cool concept.
Is it like a Spider-Man version of Bejeweled?
Not at all.
Oh,
it is. Okay. It takes place in four different eras. So one is like future Spider-Man.
Ooh.
One is Spider-Man as we know him.
Uh-huh.
One is totally like back in the 40s. Like it's all like kind of like black and white,
right.
Spider-Man. And then there's, what's the other one? Oh, Spider-Man as Venom.
Oh, okay. What time does that take place in?
Probably around modern time, but it's much darker. It's a darker world.
Gotcha.
Yeah. But I have to say the controls for this game are so absolutely terrible.
They're wonky.
It's not even playable.
Yeah.
Terrible.
That makes for a bad game.
It really does. In each world, you have like different powers and stuff, so it, like they just pile on the stuff that's not working. They just keep piling it on.
Yeah.
And it really is a cool concept, and the game looked great, and the little I was able to play, I enjoyed it, but... you know, after a while, it made me feel stupid, so I just stopped playing.
Now, is Peter Parker...
Because I got people that'll make me feel stupid. I don't need this game to do
that's
it.
That's right. Wait, is Peter Parker traveling through time, or are you just supposed to assume that Spider-Man's been around forever?
You meet with this one chick who tells you she's going to send you to different worlds, blah, blah.
Are you sure that's what she was talking about?
Yeah.
She wasn't flirting? Because, you know, I've heard of rock your world and send you to different worlds. Just maybe she was foreign and didn't get the language.
No,
or something.
Yeah.
Actually, different worlds.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just checking.
But
so this was like
really
Spider-Man
cool concept
on an episode of Sliders.
It looked great. The worst controls. The worst.
Were there lots of combos?
That you would hate it.
Really?
You would hate it.
Was it all combos?
It was all combos.
That's ridiculous.
All combos.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I had a game once where one of the controls was you're supposed to push up and down at the same time on the joystick, except there was only one joystick. How do you even do that?
I would
that
guess
makes
you'd
no
leave,
sense whatsoever.
I would guess you'd leave it still.
Just do nothing and you
right.
win. I win. Yay. That's it? That's all you've played?
Well, I've played a little more Need for Speed. I'm ready to get rid of that.
Really? Are you
well,
done?
I'm, you know, there are those race challenges that I just can't.
Yeah, it's a racing game, so they come up from time to time,
yeah.
I find.
Yeah, but they should see after a while if you can't come in first, like, we'll throw you third.
So, I don't understand.
In order for me to progress, I have to rank first in a race.
First?
And yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
There's no room for error.
No, not at all. Wow. And I got lots of errors to give.
Yeah, well, especially if you keep hitting the eggnog. I, you know, on the 7th, Cataclysm came out, so I've been playing Cataclysm, and I'm rehashing a little bit stuff that I did in the beta, because I got pretty far in the beta, so I'm rehashing a little bit.
How different is this final version than the beta?
It's not that much different. The beta was surprisingly complete.
Wow.
I mean, there were definitely things that didn't work. For instance, one of the things is...
Movement? You couldn't move?
Right, there was no movement or graphics or sound in the beta,
So
this is a little different from that. Point of view. No, I'm playing Worgen again, which are the wolf people. And one of the things that's kind of interesting is when you got your mount at level 20 in the beta, you would go and get it from Teldrassil, and it was the I can't remember the name of the city, but it was the cat, the same one that the night elves use.
Right.
Well, in this one, you just have a skill that lets you get down on all fours and run really fast. So you don't actually mount another animal. You just run as like kind of a wolf wearing a top hat.
Now, can someone come up behind you and mount you?
You're, again, talking about a different game. Yeah. That's a completely different game. Rated M for something naughty, I'm sure.
For Maudy.
Yeah, I don't know what that means. But so far it's pretty cool. I actually started characters on different realms than I've played on before.
Uh-huh.
I kind of like to mix it up a little bit, and I enjoy seeing what the personality of a particular server is like. And what's difficult about World of Warcraft, and I think you probably saw this without realizing you were seeing it when you were playing, is that you really don't get to the point of the game where you can see what that personality is like until you get to one of the capital cities. Because that's where, you know, you see people in the sort of public chat,
mm-hmm.
and you got kind of get a sense of the age level and the maturity level and the just personality again of the people on the server. And to me, that really makes a big difference, because if you're on a server with a bunch of people who you don't like or don't care about what they're saying.
But how can you tell that right away?
You can't tell right away. That's what I'm saying. Well, I mean, you can, because once you're out of your
like Goofy Clown Realm and
no. No, that would be make it much easier, wouldn't it? The Realm of Idiots.
Right.
There isn't one of those listed.
Oh, they, I'll join this
like,
one.
They've got like 50 realms on there. Maybe more, maybe 100. I don't know. There's a lot of them. But anyway, I'm enjoying it so far. But I do want to get back and finish Fallout New Vegas, because I kind of dropped that a little bit. So that'll be next time. What else was going on?
We got some miscellaneous. This is going to be a short section here.
Yeah, that's fine.
Got some miscellaneous. I'm going to start, I mean, since we're talking about World of Warcraft, I'll start with this one.
Okay.
The Cataclysm expansion pack for World of Warcraft became the fastest selling PC game of all time when it sold 3.3 million units in just 24 hours.
Insanity.
That is insanity.
Insanity. Wow. And I don't see a penny of that.
You do not. You spend a penny.
Yeah, more than that.
Oh, yeah.
Actually. Yeah.
Yeah. Those Tomb Raider.
Do any of our listeners other than Stritch play this game?
I don't know.
I wonder.
They should let us know.
You should.
please let us know something.
I don't think they're going to let us know right now while we're recording. You can move on.
Should stop waiting then, huh?
Yeah, probably.
Those Tomb Raider rumors we reported last episode turned out to be true with a cover story on the new game in this month's Game Informer.
Stunning.
The Crystal Dynamics team is approaching this one differently than those in the past. First of all, this will be an origin story of sorts, as the game will be Lara Croft's first adventure. And judging by the artwork with the article, this will be a much more realistic take on the franchise.
Definitely. I mean, the artwork of her on the cover is absolutely stunning. It's amazing.
She looks really young.
Yeah, she's supposed to be 21.
Okay.
She looked younger than that, too?
I would say a little younger than that.
Really? Like 20 and a half?
Now, you were saying it's also going to be more of an open world type game, right?
That's what I read, yeah. Yeah. And it's not supposed to line up at any point with any of the previous games.
Okay.
So this is basically
do-over. Exclusive.
This is a do-over. They're starting over
the whole
thing.
It's a reboot. Yeah.
It's a reboot, exactly. Isn't that weird how that's become so popular in the last few years? Yeah. The whole idea of doing a reboot.
Like, you know, everything you know about this, try to forget that, and we're going to start all over again.
Right. George Lucas tried that with the Star Wars prequels. Not so much with the story, but with the quality of of the productions. And everything you know about the quality of what I've done before, right. You might just want to forget about that.
But look,
except maybe the Duck movie.
But look at these shiny objects. Look at the character with the long ears.
Look. Oh, a giant bunny steps into poopy.
Last week on Late Night with Jimmy Fallon, PS3 fanboys and girls got their Christmas gift early when an unannounced trailer debuted for Uncharted 3.
Wow.
The sequel to my favorite game of last year will see a November 1st, 2011 release.
That's crazy. That's way far off.
It's cool. It's just, you know, it's just a little teaser.
Now, is that still going to be a PS3 exclusive?
Yes.
Wow.
You will hopefully by then have made the move.
That's only 11 months.
Yes.
I don't know if I have time to get that in.
Speaking of trailers, a number of trailers for upcoming games also debuted this week during the Spike Video Game Awards, including Elder Scrolls V, Mass Effect 3, SSX Deadly Descents, and what I believe to be one of the coolest video game trailers ever, Batman Arkham City.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it was really cool. We watched some of the others.
Yeah, the Skyrim one, Elder Scrolls 5, uh-huh. was completely disappointing because you don't see anything.
Right.
You see a dragon. What's with everybody doing dragons? Okay, Cataclysm is about a dragon.
Uh-huh.
Elder Scrolls 5, about dragons.
Dragon Age Origins.
Guild Wars 2, about dragons. Why is it all, why is dragons the bad guys?
I don't know. They're the new vampire.
What about, like, giant nasty ladybugs? Why can't they be the bad guys?
Right.
You know?
That's not very menacing.
What about worms? Just like a huge thing of worms.
Well, they have the worms game.
Okay.
It's not
turtles?
Very scary, though.
Wee baby turtles that just nip at your Achilles tendon?
No. I want to mention I'm very happy about SSX coming back.
Yeah.
SSX 3, one of my top three favorite games of all time.
Yeah. What'd you say your third one was? I know.
Half-Life 2 and probably Prince of Persia Sands of Time.
Okay. Which I didn't like because of the combos. Again.
Right. I know. You don't like the comp.
No.
I'm aware.
Have I mentioned that before?
Yeah.
Okay.
Many a time. What else do we want to mention there? Oh, and in case you were wondering, Red Dead Redemption walked away with the Spike Video Game Award for Best Game of the Year.
Really?
I haven't played enough of it, but I will say it is just the little I played, the most impressive, one of the most impressive games I've played in the last year. You know, this has been a bad game for year. I'm sorry, bad year for games. Don't you think? I mean, I remember last year just
being wowed
by so much.
I would say it's
so
a little bit slow.
Yeah,
you know,
so
a little
much,
slow.
Not so much. And there's so much stuff coming out next year. I can't wait.
But some of the things that I've played, I've really liked. I mean, Cataclysm's fun so far. I really liked the Tomb Raider game. I thought that was really good.
Yeah, but that's like a little casual game.
Still a game.
Brendan, this is where I want to refer to you. Red Dead Redemption, best game of the year?
That's what I played.
Brendan says yes.
Brendan says yes.
So there you go.
Let's see what we have here. This should come as no surprise, but Apple has revealed its list of the top-selling iOS games for 2010, and Angry Birds is at the top for both the iPhone and the iPod Touch and for the iPad.
That's a triple. They got a triple. Triple Lindy.
They did. That's no surprise. That game I still play almost daily.
I keep trying to go in and play it, and I don't
You don't.
I don't get it.
It's very complicated.
I mean, I don't get the attraction is my point.
Oh.
You know, it actually, to me, is a lot like Worms in many ways. You know what I mean? Because it's all about the angles and the...
Right.
Except there was a lot more to do in Worms. Although you said it gets a lot more complicated as you get further into it, right? Power-ups? Extra lives?
No, you get different birds that do different things.
Yeah, that's kind of like power-ups.
I wouldn't say more complicated. I mean, yeah, I guess...
Well, the puzzles, structure has become, the puzzles are more complex.
But your whole goal of the game is the same throughout the whole game.
Right.
Kill the pigs. Right.
Yeah.
And finally...
Are pigs and cartoon birds natural enemies?
Well, the pigs stole the birds' eggs. Because, you know, eggs and bacon.
Sure.
Wakey, wakey, eggs and bakey.
Okay.
And finally, if there was ever...
There's our commercial for the Baconator for the day.
Oh, this is for you, this one.
Okay.
If there was ever reason that Lou would buy Rock Band for the Xbox 360, here it is. The classic, in quotes, 80s album Pac-Man Fever will be available as a track pack next week in the Rock Band Music
Store. You have
story.
Got to be kidding me.
So you could be playing Do the Donkey Kong this time next week.
I would definitely play the Hyperspace one. That's the best track
or
on it.
Frogger's Lament.
No, I wouldn't play that. That's such a bad song. Pull up your magic twanger, Froggy. That's one of
the perfect ending to this.
One of the lyrics.
That's
one of the lyrics. Yeah, I have all of those songs on my iPod.
I know you do.
Yeah. I wish we could break to a musical interlude of one of them. But we can't.
We don't have the money to pay for those kind of rights.
We don't have the rights.
You know how expensive
I don't think it would matter.
You know how expensive those songs are?
That's right up there with the Beatles. Right? Isn't it Glee, Beatles, Buckner and Garcia?
Right.
Top selling musicians, musical groups, musical acts of all time, I'm guessing. All right. And
you know
on that
what?
Note.
You know what? Let's put this out here right now. You've been such a fan of that forever, and it's always made me laugh. But how hard would it be to get them on this show?
I don't know. I don't even know where they live.
That's a challenge. Let's
I don't
find
even know
them.
Where they live.
Let's find them.
I still want to get Steve Wiebe on here.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. You can't even get the original album. They re-released it a few years ago, but they re-recorded it because they couldn't get the rights to the original tracks.
Really?
Yeah. So I don't know if it was because the rights of the game sounds were tied into the rights and they were not allowed to do that or what the situation was.
So it's not
was.
The same at all.
No, it's not because they were 15 years older when they recorded them and they didn't have all the same sounds and the production was totally different. So it's not the same. You can never go back, basically. And I think Buckner and Garcia should be aware of that.
I bet if you went back to your basement in your dad's house, probably find it.
Well, you probably could go back there.
Yeah.
But no, I have like 4 copies of it. Just in case.
Just in case of Armageddon.
Just in case. Just in case we need to repopulate. I want to make sure that everybody has the knowledge. Because, you know, the album sleeve that, you know, that the album was actually inside the album cover, had all the patterns for Pac-Man.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it was also educational.
Oh.
I have to. Okay. Or whatever.
We're gonna, continue.
No.
It's
I was gonna say when we come back, I'm gonna play the guitar riff from the Hyperspace, the Asteroids song.
Okay.
Surely we can't get in trouble for that.
Okay.
And then you'll know what you'll be up against in when you buy the track pack.
Right.
All right. So we're gonna take a quick break, and when we come back, we're gonna talk about TV. Okay, we're back and it's time to talk about TV. But first, as promised, here's what you have to expect. Here's what you can look forward to when you buy the Pac-Man Fever track pack for
Rock Band
for the Xbox 360.
And the PS3, I'm sure.
Now, I'm just playing this off my iPhone. And I'm doing this in promotion of the new product. This is not to illegally play music during the show.
Right.
That's not the purpose of this. I'm promoting the track pack.
Okay.
So somebody owes me a favor for this. But here, this is what you're going to have to practice. Ready? What do you think? You think you could play that? There's more. It's not over yet. Oh, nice big finish there.
That certainly will be the solo of the song, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. What are you saying?
Well, you know, in Rock Band, there's at least one instrument solo.
That's
in
definitely
every song,
the solo.
So that'll be the guitar solo.
I don't even know how you're going to play most of the songs on here because a lot of them don't really have that kind of thing in them. Right?
I don't know. Maybe they've been reworked for this game.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. Before we move on to TV, would you like to, in fact, do the Donkey Kong?
No.
Okay, I'm just checking.
I'll wait for the privacy of my own home to do that. Thank you.
Okay, good idea, I think. All right, so what do we talk about in TV?
Well, we have the finale of The Walking Dead.
Okay, so let's talk about that. First of all, I would like to say that I was happy that they finally at least let us in on a little bit of what happened.
Yes, and how great was that scene?
That was really cool.
Because so not what we expected.
Right, that
or
was
not
really
what I
cool.
expected.
And did you guess right away that it was his wife?
What?
Are we talking about the same thing?
I thought you were talking about where his friend tried, where Shane tried to save him when he was in the hospital.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's what I thought you were talking about.
No, I was talking about, well, I wasn't talking about that specifically. I was talking about the scientist's explanation of what happened with the virus. Did you think right away that it was?
No, I didn't.
I guessed that.
Okay.
But yeah, I was so thankful for that scene at the beginning because I haven't really known how to feel about Shane.
Right.
And
well, what's great about this episode is you feel one way about him at the beginning and then feel a different way about him later.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, because I went from not sure to, oh, now I kind of feel sorry for him to, maybe not so much.
Rapist.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, it was a really good episode.
It was the second best episode.
Yeah, okay, but...
Behind the first episode.
Right.
Which was the best episode.
Here's what I thought was dumb about that episode.
Okay.
Well, first of all, I want to know what the scientist whispered to him.
Right.
Now, can I say something that might be a little spoilerific? Not specifically...
We've already spoiled it.
No, I mean about stuff that might happen next season.
Well, yeah, because you don't know for sure.
I don't know for sure, but I will tell you that our very own Brendan... read all the books.
Oh, that's right. So this could be for sure.
Well, all I'm going to say is that I know from what he said that they, in the books anyway, go to DC.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm wondering if what he said to him had something to do with whatever was going to make them go to DC. But didn't you think it was a little weird that their whole plan was to leave their original campsite and go to the CDC, which is now blowed up, and after they escape... they get in their cars and they start driving, but nobody's talked about where they're going.
Right.
And they're all just following each other.
Right.
But there was no mention of where they were going. It was just, they just start driving. They like turned around and started driving.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think they're going back to where they came from.
No.
So that was a little strange for me. I'm just saying.
But I have to say, that's the best 6 episodes of television I can remember in years.
Yeah.
I mean, I loved it.
Yeah, it was good.
By
the way, I was at a party on Friday night that Steve Kometko was at,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't get to talk to him. Because I had a bunch of questions that I wanted to ask him, you know, entertainment-related questions.
Right. Is he still entertainment reporting?
No. That show, I think, doesn't exist anymore.
Okay.
And so he's back here doing other unrelated stuff.
So he hates Sechrist, is what you're saying? Because didn't Sechrist pretty much take his job?
Did he?
Well, he's all over E! News. Isn't that where Steve Kometko was?
Yeah, I don't know. By the way, have you seen that, and our own Kelsey told me about this one. Have you seen this show on E! Called Bridalplasty? Have you heard of this?
I've heard of it.
What is up with that?
Ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
It really is the sign of the apocalypse.
End of times.
Yeah.
It's a TV show about brides who compete to get plastic surgery for their wedding.
Yeah.
And I believe that... you know, they vote each other off. And so there's like one person who gets voted off and one person is the winner. And the winner gets some surgery.
Uh-huh.
And so by the end of the series, the winner has had one surgery per episode.
Well, assuming that they win every episode.
Well, that's what I mean. The winner is the one who's had the most surgeries, but that's horrifying.
Is she really the winner?
No. I'd be willing to bet not. But anyway. Okay, so anything else you want to say about The Walking Dead, by the way?
No. I did notice something.
Bridalplasty could almost be considered The Walking Dead, if you think about it.
I did say last time, though, that the DVDs were going to come out to April. Well, apparently they pushed those up to March. March 7th, I believe,
aha!
is the release date for the DVDs.
Okay.
So
if you missed,
you will have to
episodes.
Actually. I know you're not huge about buying stuff you've seen on TV on DVD,
What are you talking about? Well, I have like two giant drawers full of TV on DVD.
Really? Because you had told me, when we were talking about Battlestar Galactica, I believe it was on the air, you had told me that like...
Well, it's if I've already seen it.
Well, yeah. That's what I'm talking about. You've already seen this.
Yeah. Right.
So, but I'm saying because you haven't seen this in high def, you're really doing yourself
a
disservice by not buying this on Blu-ray and actually seeing it in high def because it's beautiful.
And when did you start working for them?
As soon as my free copy comes in the mail.
Because I was just told that I was doing myself a disservice.
There you go.
By not seeing it in high def. My health will be impeded, I'm sure.
Before we talk about this next show, I believe you owe some of us, namely me, an apology.
For?
This next show we're about to talk about.
So here's what Tony's talking about. He wants to talk about Top Chef.
I mean, I know you've already put it on the fan page, but I think we need to hear it.
He wants to talk about Top Chef All-Stars and my reluctance to have anything to do with it. But then, of course, my wife wanted to watch it, so we watched it one night. And I have to say, it was quite enjoyable.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
Battle of
the
Egos.
You know, I didn't think I would enjoy it, but what's enjoyable about it is the stakes are immediately higher because you already know everyone.
Right.
And because they all made it far originally. So it's not like some loser from season four. It's like, you know, the people who almost won every season.
And saying what I said before, you don't have the first like 6 weeks of the weak people being voted off because really there are no weak people.
Right. Exactly. So this is sort of like the liquidy stuff right below the cream of the crop. You know what I'm saying?
And I have to say, the two episodes that we've had so far have been great.
They have been
great. And the challenges have been tough.
The first elimination challenge was brilliant.
Awesome.
Brilliant. What they did was, do you want to tell the story?
Yeah, they took the dish that they were voted off from originally on the series. They had to make that dish again, but make it work.
Right. That was such a great idea. Yeah. Such a great idea. And then the second episode, you know, I missed the beginning of the second episode. So I don't know what the quick fire challenge was. But it had something to do with kids, right? Did it make something for kids? Didn't they have to make something for kids?
Oh, I can't remember. Oh my God, and it's right in my memory bank. Hold on.
Okay, so the first episode, Elisa? Is that her name? Elisa? Isn't that her name? Or no?
Yeah, something like that.
She went home.
Cute one with the curly dark hair.
Yeah. You thought she was cute, huh?
Yeah. You don't?
All right. Just all right. But whatever. She was she Italian or what was she?
I think she was Latina.
Oh, okay. So she went home, and that was pretty sad because she was always very sweet, and she didn't get involved in the whole ganging up on Marcel thing, right?
Right.
That season. So she was always really nice. And so, you know, it was bad when she left originally and was bad when she left this time, especially since she was first to go. Now, the second episode, did you think that there was something weird in the second episode?
As far as what?
As far as guest judges. Do you remember who the guest judge was?
No.
It was Katie Lee Joel.
Oh, yeah.
Who was the host the first season, sitting at the table right next to Padma. And I was waiting for a catfight to break out. I was not rewarded with a catfight. I think the producers of Top Chef should take note of the fact that there are a lot of us out here who would like to see Padma in a catfight. I don't even care who it's against. It could be against Katie Lee Joel. It could be against the one from Top Chef Masters. It could be against an actual cat. I don't care. I just want to see her in a cat fight. That's all I'm saying.
The quick fire for episode two was they had to come up with a midnight snack for all the kids staying after or sleeping overnight in the museum.
Oh, okay. That's right, because it was titled A Night at the Museum.
Right.
Yes. And then, so Jen went home at the end of...
Ceviche.
Miss Ceviche, yes, that's right, went home at the end of episode two, and she was not happy.
She's crazy.
During the judges' table, she was insulting the judges, which I thought was kind of funny. And you know, then Tom Colicchio was saying, "Well, I don't care about that. This is a cooking competition." You know,
and anyone who's worked in the business knows that's how all chefs are.
They're all like that.
About
yeah. No. And so he said, "You know, this is going to be about the food. It's not going to be about the personality." And then she went home,
right?
Which I thought was kind of funny. because I didn't think she was going to go home based on everything that we saw about the food. I thought it was going to be Tiffany.
Yes.
Right?
No.
No.
Wait, there are two Tiffanys, aren't there?
Yeah, but no. Who was the one who they didn't like her food at all? It was somebody else. It didn't seem
Jamie?
Like it didn't seem like Jen was going to go home based on what they said about the food.
And Jamie. Then,
Jamie? No, it wasn't Jamie. Who was the third person in the elimination?
Trying to get it here. I don't have it.
Whatever. But I didn't think she was going to go home, and then she went home. And she was like, you know, she was like, well, they made a wrong decision. But then as she walked out the door, she lets out this stream of profanity that it was like a solid bleep.
She's crazy.
She is crazy.
But the show is very entertaining.
It is entertaining.
I mean, we have not been this entertained by episode 2.
And I hate to be this shallow, too, but isn't it interesting to see who's gone up and down in weight, too?
Right. Well, I think it has to do, well, no, not necessarily.
Because I think Jamie actually looks pretty good.
Yeah.
And I'm generally, you know, not attracted to women who are attracted to women. But
really?
Well, I mean, because I know there's no chance there.
But with the others, you're right up there, huh?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's why I keep talking about Padma.
Like today when Brendan told you that Scarlett Johansson is now available.
Yeah.
You were all over that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So her and Ryan Reynolds broke up? Were they married?
Apparently. 2 years.
Yep. Do they have kids?
No.
Okay. Well, that's good. That's good. You don't want to bring kids into a situation like that.
No, you don't.
No. Do we know why?
We don't know why.
Really? Could we find out why? You want to call her real quick on the air?
Yeah, why don't you call her? You seem to be right up there,
no,
right behind
okay.
him.
That's okay. I'm next in line. Yeah, I usually, it's weird because as a voiceover professional, I usually am second in line after Ryan Reynolds for most of the projects I audition for. We get a lot of the same parts.
I'm sure.
We're basically the same guy.
Green Lantern.
Yeah. I was right there. That one with Betty White and Sandra Bullock, right there. Scar Joe, call me.
Yeah, you're right there.
You can get my phone number from Padma.
I'm trying to see what else I have here. I have The Office, but you know, it was a Christmas episode. It's okay. There were some funny moments, some stupid moments, but
still have not seen a single episode this season.
The Return of Holly.
Oh, really? So they're winding down then. Gearing up to
I would
wind
imagine.
Down,
I think she's going to be there the rest of the episode because she kind
of came
in. The
rest of the season, you mean?
Right, I'm sorry. Yeah. She came in to fill in the HR spot because Toby is now on the Scranton Strangler jury.
What?
For the trial for the Scranton Strangler.
Oh, no.
And there's one part that's really funny where Michael, you know, because he has to leave and be on the jury for so long, they had to bring Holly in.
Yeah.
So Michael actually, you know, in the camera interview, he thanks the
Scranton Strangler.
Right? And I think he said, even though he's taken life out of so many Scranton residents, he's breathed life back into, like, Dunder Mifflin.
That's awesome. That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
But let's talk about this for a second. The general wisdom is that Steve Carell is leaving because he wants to go do other stuff, right?
Yeah.
Do you think that's going to happen?
Absolutely.
You think so?
Yeah.
You think he'll get good stuff, though?
Yes.
Because right now he's kind of Mets a Mets. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I think he'll do okay.
You know, you got 40-Year-Old Virgin, which did really well.
Right.
And then you got Evan Almighty.
Right.
And
yeah, there's some bad stuff. There's Get Smart that was bad.
Did you actually see that?
Yeah, it's terrible.
Really?
Yeah. It's not on cable. But Date Night I really liked.
Yeah, I heard that was good. I still haven't seen that. But see, I wanted to see Get Smart.
But you know, there is the one thing. I mean, you have these great comedic, especially on Saturday Night Live, like these improvisationalists, if you will, who, you know, we loved on Saturday Night Live, like, say, Dana Carvey or Martin Short, who then when they go to, like, pursue a career in movies, everything they make is garbage.
Yeah.
So I kind of worry.
Rob Schneider.
Well, I was never a huge fan to begin with. But then there's Will Ferrell, right.
You know,
so
most of what he does is pretty good.
Yeah.
I would say. Yeah. I mean, it's really, that's the thing about movies is that there's so many people involved.
Right.
You know what I mean? That you, I mean, look at The Tourist that just came out with Angelina Jolie and Johnny Depp. I mean, those are two of the biggest names in Hollywood. And by all accounts, this movie's terrible.
Right. And we will talk about that in a little while when we talk about Golden Globe nominations.
Okay. So there you go.
Modern Family was also the Christmas episode.
I have not seen it, so please don't give us any spoilers.
I will not give any spoilers.
Was it good?
Yeah.
Okay. Good or awesome?
Was it the Christmas episode? You know what? Maybe it wasn't the Christmas episode.
Wait, what did we see? We saw one where the last one we saw was where Phil was hanging out with what's her name? Haley's boyfriend. What's his name?
Dylan.
Dylan. Because he felt bad for him because they broke up.
Yeah, that's not too long ago. You know, this one was not the Christmas episode. The reason it made me think that this one is the one where the two young kids, oh my God, Manny and
The boy.
Yeah. Right? They go to their school dance.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So the other storyline in the one that we saw was that Cameron's mom came to visit, uh-huh. and she's always handsy right. with Mitchell, and he was really uncomfortable. That was actually pretty funny.
Yeah. Yeah, this episode was really funny, too.
Yeah.
It stayed.
So that Halloween episode was so great. That's like one
yeah,
of the.
Yeah, but it stayed on par. It's been good.
Yeah.
That's all I really have. You want to move on to your little show?
Let's see.
Here?
We saw the last episode, I believe, of Chase, and I don't know if it's the last episode before the end of the mid-season break or the last episode ever. I guess
I have a little about that. Would you like me to say it right now?
Oh, you might as well.
Where do we have? NBC has just pulled its full season order for Chase, ordering only 18 episodes rather than 22. Cancellation is almost imminent.
But that's this season, right?
Yeah.
So there is still going to be more after the break.
But there were supposed to be 22, and now they've said, you know what, we only want 18.
Yeah.
So.
Right. But at least there's going to be more. It's a fun show. I have to say that Kelly Giddish is quite good in that role. She was on some soap opera, supposedly.
I don't know who that is.
She's the girl who looks like the blonde Lara Croft, although not anymore, not based on that new Lara Croft, who is quite dishy.
Dishy.
She is. I'm just saying. And then have you seen The Next Great Baker?
I have not.
This is the show that's hosted by Buddy.
Is this the cake boss guy?
Yeah. All Buddy. Right. I don't know why I can't think of Velasco.
Buddy Elf.
And so it's him and his cousin Morrow, or whoever Morrow is to him, and his sister Mary, who is so rude and obnoxious to everybody. And it's like, you know, it's sort of like Top Chef Just Desserts kind of thing. But there were some really funny things. First of all, the best part of the show, okay, so at the end of the show, when somebody gets eliminated, Buddy says to him, I'm sorry, but you got to get in the truck and get out of here. And so they go outside to the back of the bakery where there's somebody waiting next to their box van, and he's like, get in the truck. And then they get in this truck, which is empty, and he closes the door behind him and locks it and then drive away.
And you never know what happens.
And on the side, it says, not the next great baker. In like big words on the side. It's like the van of humility. But they just like put him in a truck and ship him off.
So the show awesome. Doesn't take itself too seriously.
No, definitely not. But I mean, it still does. I mean, they're getting $50,000 to right. win. And they're also going to get a job at, you know, at
the Cake Boss.
Carlo's Bakery. Yeah. Right. Which
the Cake Boss place.
The Cake Boss place. Exactly. Yeah. But it's pretty cool. There was some other stuff that was kind of amusing that I'm not going to go into. But if you like those kind of shows, check it out. Speaking of which, didn't you think Just Desserts was pretty short? Didn't it seem really short?
No, it seemed like it was on forever.
Oh, really?
I mean, for me anyway.
Yeah. All right. Anyway.
That's it? You don't have any Chuck or
no, everything's
Stargate
done.
Or
everything's done.
Any of your little things you like to see there?
I don't know. I mean, everything's done until after the break. The Stargate finale
any
was
of those little
absolutely
creature
fantastical.
Critter shows you watch?
Creature features. How come they don't use that term anymore? Another one of them creature features at the picture show.
It'll come back, though.
Yeah, if I keep doing it.
All right, before we get into miscellaneous, then, I'm just going to
touch. I think I'm going to get Padma and Scarlet to help me out with bringing that back. Yeah,
good luck.
Yeah, thanks.
I'm just going to touch a little about Golden Globes.
Okay.
I mean, a lot of it is just, you know, so same things that are always nominated.
You're just going to be touching the Golden Globes a little bit.
Right.
Okay.
I will just be brushing
against the
Golden Globes. Let's see.
Innocently, I'm sure.
Let's see what we have here. Well, one thing I like, best television series drama, The Walking Dead was nominated.
There you go.
Already.
What else? What else?
Against The Walking Dead?
Yeah.
Mad Men.
Okay.
The Good Wife, Dexter, and Boardwalk Empire.
None of which I've ever seen. You still watching Boardwalk Empire?
No.
Why?
It didn't move fast enough for me.
Yeah.
And it was about the time that Walking Dead started, so
it was like
kind of had to pick.
And Walking Dead is not exactly a fast-paced show, but it's got great moments of greatness.
Yes, it does. Best television series, comedy or musical? You got 30 Rock, which I don't still understand why. I watched a couple episodes of that in the last couple of weeks, and that show's so hit or miss for me.
I hope Modern Family's on this list.
It is.
Good.
Big Bang Theory, The Big C, which I watched all the way through, which I really liked. Yeah. Glee, Modern Family, and Nurse Jackie.
Wow, that's still on.
Yeah. Actually, it's been good.
You watch that?
Yeah. Oh. It's not on right at the moment, but it did have two seasons so far.
Yeah.
Laura Linney was nominated for The Big C. That was kind of a surprise against Tina Fey, Edie Falco.
I was once nominated for The Big C.
So you were never.
I don't even know what that means.
And Lea Michele from Glee.
Okay.
Actor in a comedy or musical. You got the Alec Baldwin.
Okay.
Steve Carell.
Sure.
This I don't get. Thomas Jane from Hung. How is that show still on?
Is that a comedy?
Apparently. Matthew Morrison from Glee and Jim Parsons from Big Bang Theory.
Wow, nobody from Modern Family.
No, that's surprising, actually. Well, actually, best performance by an actress in a supporting role, Sofia Vergara. Yeah.
Totally deserving of that.
And Jane Lynch. She's against Jane Lynch. And Julia Stiles for Dexter.
Julia Stiles? I didn't know she was on that show.
Best performance.
Did they show people making a lot of pancakes?
I have
on
a little
show?
Connection to Julia Stiles that I'll give you off air.
Okay.
I can't give it on air.
Okay.
Best performance by an actor in a supporting role. This is nice. Kurt from Glee.
There you go.
Yeah.
Kurt.
Chris Colfer, the gay kid.
Okay. I always get him and you know what? I always get him and Artie confused. Yeah. Their character names. So okay. He's pretty good.
Is that because you view homosexuality as a disability?
Kind of the other way around. I don't even know what that means.
Scott Kahn from Hawaii 5-0 nominated
for
Golden Globe.
He's really good on that.
Really?
I have to say he's really good on that.
Eric Stonestreet from Modern Family.
Okay, that's good.
And that's really all we got there.
So there you go.
So that's it for TV. We'll talk about the movies part of it. But I just wanted to touch on some of that.
Sure.
The real surprises are in the movie section part.
Okay.
Let's see what else we have here. It has been announced that... that's movies.
Yeah, what are you doing?
NBC and reality TV king Mark Burnett are creating a singing competition show to directly rival American Idol.
Wow.
The Voice of America.
That's what it's going to be called?
That's the name, yeah. Will debut as early as this spring and will feature contestants being judged blindly by a panel of well-known recording artists. No word yet on who.
So when you say being judged blindly, you mean...
They will not see the contestants.
They're only
going to
hear them.
They were only going
to
hear them.
So this is like American Idol meets The Dating Game.
Yes, exactly.
Right?
But I kind of like this because, you know, American Idol puts a little too much emphasis on the whole package.
Right.
Whereas this is just about singing.
It'll be interesting to see how it's done, though, as far as, you know, like how people are eliminated and stuff like that. Like, is it going to be another vote-in thing where people vote in? Because we're going to know what they look like. So that element is still going to be there.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because people, you know.
I don't know how far they're going to take it. Maybe once they have their final 10 or something, then they're not. Because obviously then they'll be able to recognize their voices.
Sure, sure.
So maybe it's just to pick the top, whatever.
The top, yeah. The.
I think this the strength of the show will come down to who they get as judges. I mean, if you get you get someone like Elton John, obviously that's a lot of stature, although they won't because he wanted too much money for American Idol. But, you know, if you have like Baby Spice from the Spice Girls, that's not really.
That doesn't really bring a lot of cachet with it.
No, not in the least.
What about Posh Spice? No, they already did that, didn't they?
Right, American Idol.
That was no good. She was a little wooden.
Let's see. Speaking of American Idol, some more changes to American Idol have been revealed. The top 12 contestants will now all live together in a house in the Hollywood Hills and will take a road trip to Las Vegas mid-season to perform in a big Vegas show.
Now, okay, so we got two different things here. Let's talk about the Vegas thing first. What is the point of that, and what does that have to do with anything?
Right.
Is what I want to know.
And apparently the show that they will be performing in is the Cirque du Soleil Beatles tribute show.
Okay.
So they'll be singing, like, Beatles songs.
So I guess it's a way for them to work in the Beatles without having another kind of... Because didn't they do a Beatles episode?
Yeah.
And wasn't it pretty bad? Right? But that's, I mean, that's it. It was just,
Right.
I mean, if you're going to do a Beatles episode, it should be great. Mm-hmm. Was Paul McCartney in that episode?
No.
See, that was part of the problem. Like, those ones where they have the mentors who come in, like, you know, Barry Manilow was great. Rod Stewart was great. Who were some of the other ones that were really good?
I thought Jennifer Lopez was great.
Jennifer Lopez, I don't even remember. Queen, that one was interesting, at least.
Yeah.
It was, I don't know if I would say it was great, but it was
funny. Thought Bon Jovi was good, but
Bon Jovi was good.
That's my era.
Yeah. But with the Beatles, you expect it to be so big.
Right.
And they just really didn't do anything special. You know what I mean?
So. Kind of the same way with Michael Jackson, too.
But he wasn't there.
No, I know. But, I mean, they had a Michael Jackson one, show. And
exactly.
That wasn't great either.
Yeah.
Anyway, them living in the Hollywood Hills.
Okay,
in the
so
house,
what's up with that? Is like, that just to introduce
drama?
It's kind of
like a real world. I don't like it. It's taking away the emphasis of what the show is about.
I don't understand why they would do that. Ugh, like, what are they going to...
This is going to be a laugh.
I just don't...
But it
and
makes us want to watch
live
it more.
There too?
Huh?
Is Seacrest going to live in the house too?
You know J-Lo's not living there. Let me just say that.
Maybe Dunkelman will live with that. The return of Brian Dunkelman.
I hope there's chaperone. I hope they go so far as to, like, I mean, they're really pulling things from other shows. I hope there's like a mole in the house.
A celebrity mole.
Right.
So like Carrie Underwood is in the house, but none of them know who she is.
Right.
So it's like celebrity mole.
Let's see. Sam Neill has been cast as the lead in J.J. Abrams' new Alcatraz series.
Ooh, I like the sound of that.
I like
Sam Neill.
Do you?
Yeah, sure. Hunt for Red October. You can't beat that. That's a good Sam Neill role right there.
TNT has announced that the upcoming season of The Closer will be its last.
Okay.
Don't you watch that?
No.
I thought that was one of your shows.
Do not
you know,
like...
I confuse it with The Medium.
I do.
They're the same.
It's not The Medium. It's just Medium.
By
the way, I think we saw what was probably the final episode of Medium, and that was pretty good.
Yeah.
It was pretty good. It was pretty good. That was a good show. But you really have to like
her
in that part, specifically in that part, because I don't think I'd ever seen her in anything before where I was like, oh, I really like her.
Yeah,
but
me neither.
But I liked the idea of the
show.
True
romance,
which is,
I guess I liked her in that.
Which is why we started watching this, because I liked the idea of the show. Yeah. And she was so good in this. I mean, seriously, one of the best portrayals of a married couple on television ever. What?
Over Ricky and Lucy?
I said best, not most comedic. This was not a comedy show.
I see.
No, I don't watch The Closer. It's got the Kira Sedgwick in it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't like those wide mouth people.
Yeah. She's a poor man's Julia Roberts.
They played sisters in a movie.
Right.
Yeah. That show is so dumb, too. Because it's like the whole
her accent is so annoying.
It is. And the whole show is based on the idea that she's like this tough as nails, you know, interrogator who can get anyone to confess with anything.
But she weighs like 110 pounds.
Not only that,
like squirrel.
But like I've seen, you know, because Amy watches it. So I've seen bits and pieces of it here. So she'll be like at a table with someone. She'll be like, look, I'm going to get it out of you anyway. So why don't you just go ahead and tell me? And then they're like, all right, fine. And they confess. It's like, what? Are you kidding me? It's not
a good
show.
Wow, all that and she's still home by 5, huh?
not a good show. I don't get it at all.
And here's some sad news. I'm going to close with some sad news here.
Why? No, you cannot close with sad news. You have to find something else.
I'm closing with sad. It's not that sad.
Okay.
I'm being sarcastic.
Oh.
After just 2 episodes, A&E has canceled its reality show, The Hasselhoffs.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, is this only in the U.S. or in Germany, too?
That's a good question. But
was it just like following them around and stuff like that?
And apparently it was boring. Although, has anyone ever seen an episode of The Kardashians? How's that been on for like 4 years?
That's been on for 4 years?
It's had at least 4 seasons, definitely.
Really?
I don't know how often the seasons are. I mean, look at Survivor. Survivor's had 21 seasons. It's been on for 10 years. So
I can't believe that show has had 21 seasons.
I know.
I've seen 1.5 episodes.
That's it?
I hate that show.
Oh, I don't hate that show.
Oh, I hate it. I think it's ridiculous.
No.
It's ridiculous. It's all fabricated. It's ridiculous.
It's not fabricated.
It is.
Well, I mean, they're put in.
And
like,
it has no bearing on anything.
Well, what does?
It's like an idiot contest. I don't want to see that on TV.
No,
I see that on the roads every day.
Okay. I'm not going to get any. I'm not even going to have this argument with you. And that's all I have.
That's all you got for television?
Yep.
All right. Well, I guess we're going to take. Are you sure? Oh, yeah, that's movies. Okay. All right. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about movies. Okay, we're back, and it's time to talk about movies. What have you seen?
I've seen a few movies, actually.
Okay.
That'll make up for my lack of video games. I finally saw Night and Day with Tom Cruise and Cameron Diaz.
What'd you think?
I enjoyed it very much so.
It was fun, right?
In fact, the more I think about it, the more I enjoyed it.
It was a fun movie.
Yeah.
Cameron Diaz is unbelievably likable in that
movie. Yeah, and she's very funny in it.
Yeah.
And they're a good pair.
Yeah.
And I like the whole unbelievability factor of it.
Yeah, there was a lot of ridiculous stuff.
Yeah, like you had pointed out, the thing that I thought was the funniest about it and was willing to forgive, because normally it would be something I would complain about. But, like, you know, he keeps drugging her, and then she wakes up on the other side of the world, like, laying on a beach in a bikini.
Right. In your chaise lounge.
And like you said, like, how could that really, you know, how could that really happen? But that's what I love about it. Like, next scene, it's like, you know, 6,000 miles away.
Right. It was goofy. But it was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it.
It's just a nice little ride.
Yeah. That's really all I have to say about it.
Okay.
Fun.
There you go.
See
it. Fun. See ya. Well, what would you think about Tom Cruise in it?
He was great in it. I mean, you know, that's a made for Tom Cruise role.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. I thought he was pretty funny.
He's not the, you know, like the blue collar, oh, I've been working in the steel mill all day.
Right.
You know?
And now I got to fight aliens to save my daughter.
Right.
Blah, blah, blah.
I also saw a movie called Chloe, which is with...
yeah, I remember seeing the previews for that.
Julianne Moore, Liam Neeson.
Sure.
Amanda Seyfried, I believe her name.
Yeah. As a psycho.
I hated this movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Was it terrible?
Well, Julianne Moore thinks that her husband, played by Liam Neeson, is cheating on her, so she just happens upon this hooker who she pays to...
What, like at the grocery store?
Pretty much.
Aisle?
Like she, yeah, pretty much. She like runs into her.
Okay.
Like she meets her in a restaurant. In the bathroom.
Well, how does she know she's a hooker?
Because she can see the dynamics of her date.
Right.
So then she like runs into her the following day. And so it's about that time she realizes that or thinks that her husband's having an affair. So she hires this girl to like
sort of
come
entrap him.
Yeah.
So that she can prove that he's
right.
Willing to.
But I'm
going to
ruin the movie because no one should rent this movie.
Okay.
But so she keeps coming back to her with these stories that. You know, like, oh, today, you know, your husband took me here and went to this hotel and we did it here. And like Julianne Moore starts to get wrapped up in the details because, you know, she's not having this affair with her husband.
Right.
But she's still, you know, turned on by her husband. So she starts to get turned on by it. And then she starts having an affair with the hooker.
Okay.
But then by the end of it, you realize that the hooker never did anything with the husband.
She just made it all up.
Because she was in love with Julianne Moore's character.
Ever since the bathroom?
Yes.
Wow. That was quick.
So then at the end, I mean, that would have been enough.
Did she call her mommy at any point?
No, but there's kind of some mothering going on.
Yeah.
Well,
just because I was thinking of, you know, from what was the Boogie Nights? Remember when Heather Graham calls her mommy at the end?
Yes.
And she's like crying in her arms.
One of my favorite movies. And the movie would have been fine if it would have just ended there, if they would have found some way to wrap it up there. But then it becomes this whole, like, fatal attraction thing where she, like,
cooks
she gets into the house. She sleeps with her son.
What?
And then tries to kill her.
How old is the son?
Like, 17, 18.
Oh, okay.
And then she tries to kill her and then, of course, you know, falls to her death. So.
Sure.
There you go. You don't have to rent it.
Done
I believe
done.
Me, I've just saved you an hour and 45 minutes of...
and $4.
Exactly. I also saw a movie that's right now on instant streaming on Netflix. It's a documentary, which I think everyone should see, especially if you like the old, you know, 60s Disney movies.
Yeah.
It's called The Boys, the Sherman Brothers story. And it's about the Sherman Brothers who... They were the only musicians that were actually studio musicians for Disney. Like when...
Like during that era.
Right. During the 60s era. Like past the, like, you know... Snow White and Cinderella and all those.
Right, right.
They did the music for Chitty Chitty Bang Bang and Mary Poppins. They did music for all the rides of the attractions, including It's a Small World.
Was Chitty Chitty Bang Bang a Disney movie?
Yeah.
Really?
I believe so.
I don't think so. It was MGM.
We'll look that up.
It was MGM.
Okay. Well, they did the music for it.
Was it produced by Eon?
Nonetheless.
Anyway. Okay.
And what's great about this is, like, it's not just a story about these... old like songwriters. Because what's funny is they play a lot of the music that, you know, they wrote, obviously.
Right.
And oh my God, it's so, you know, they're the ones that came up with like Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, and like all of their songs have this kind of where they create words and like,
yeah, right.
And you know, after like the third song that they play of theirs, you're just like, wow, they were huge hits, huh? And Walt Disney just loved them. Like, he personally.
Well, I mean, if you think about the context of the music that they were writing, I mean, it's perfect.
Right.
It's perfect
for that.
But that's
really
kind of stuff.
I mean, anything that they wrote was kind of like that. And after a while of watching this movie, you're just like, oh my God, no more of their music.
Well, it's very sugary.
Yeah, and very childish.
Yeah.
And what's funny is the two brothers are very different, and the one like was always mad that they were writing kids' stuff because he's like, oh, I don't write no kiddie stuff. Like, he was the one that wanted to, like, write a novel and write literature.
Yeah.
The other guy was kind of the, you know, classically trained pianist, but, you know, he wanted to write this.
Give me a C. A bouncy
yeah,
C.
Yeah, exactly. But what's great about this movie, I mean, the reason you should watch this movie, is that from the time that these two brothers, who had worked together, like, their whole careers,
yeah,
were kids, they hated each other.
That's hilarious.
So they had to work together and, like, you know, and had great success working together, but they hated each other throughout, to the point where like they were completely estranged. So as this movie was made, the interviews are done completely separate. I mean, there's old footage of interviews
right,
of them together,
right,
which they fight in, but like their sons had to kind of like bring this whole thing together to get them interviewed. And what's funny is like the one brother will be like, oh yeah, well, we got along for most of our lives, then we had a falling out, and the other will be like, no, I always hated him, and we never got along. And so like even the stories they tell about the same experience will be completely different.
What's funny about that is usually Disney is pretty reluctant to put out anything with any kind of negativity in it, you know what I mean?
Right.
And I mean, is it like I want you dead hate, or just
no,
like they're completely annoyed with each other like siblings would get?
No, in between the two.
Okay.
I mean, it was enough that the two sons who were adults.
Was it uncomfortable watching it?
No, it's humorous.
Okay.
It's humorous.
Well, that's why then. Okay.
Yeah, I guess they could have, I guess it was in the way
sure.
that they shot it.
Sure.
But yeah. Walt Disney never knew that they didn't get along.
Oh, he didn't?
No.
Oh, that's interesting.
No.
That's
no,
very
it just,
interesting.
It wasn't until later in life when they were completely estranged
yeah.
that people realized, oh my God, they really hate each other. I mean, they would argue a lot, but they thought it was just like
yeah.
brothers being brothers.
Yeah.
But really entertaining. I really enjoyed it. And you it's free. Well, if you subscribe to Netflix.
Right. I once either read an article or saw something on TV or something about these two brothers who painted together, but they would start on opposite sides of the same canvas and meet in the middle.
And it was
and
cohesive?
It looked like it was painted by a single person.
Wow.
They were twin brothers. Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
That's so weird. But it really has nothing to do with your story.
No. But my story was over, yeah. So that's fine.
Okay, so there you go. I didn't see anything.
Nothing?
Nothing.
Wow. Well, I guess
we'll... Why are you taking notes all of a sudden? Are you keeping score that I don't know
Let me
about?
Mark that. No, I'm,
Not
I'm
again.
Getting our Golden Globe nominations here.
Okay.
Quickly, let's just go over... I'm just going to go over the important things, and then we'll talk about the ridiculous things.
Right.
For Best Motion Picture Drama, you have The Black Swan,
okay.
The Fighter.
Didn't Black Swan just come out like 2 days ago?
Yeah. Well, The Fighter hasn't even come out yet. These are movies that for the whole year.
Okay. Well, but how can you give something an award if it hasn't
Well, because
even...
they've seen it.
Well, that doesn't seem fair. They didn't have to wait in line. They didn't have to pay $20 a ticket.
No. Inception.
Okay.
The King's Speech.
Okay.
And the
is that Colin Firth?
Yes. Okay. And The Social Network, which The Social Network has won like
everything,
like critics award so far. And like, I don't want to have to see that movie again, but I don't see what everyone is why everyone is thinking that's the best movie of the year.
I don't know.
We'll talk more about Facebook later, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Best performance by an actress, Halle Berry, Nicole Kidman, Jennifer Lawrence.
Halle Berry.
Yeah.
For what?
Halle Berry?
Yeah.
Some movie that hasn't come out yet. Oh. Frankie and Alice. I think she's like schizophrenic.
And who, oh, yeah. I saw a commercial for that. And what was who was the next one?
Nicole Kidman.
For?
Rabbit Hole.
Is that out?
Believe this week.
Okay. And who was the next one?
Jennifer Lawrence.
Not, I'm assuming, the Jennifer Lawrence we both know.
Right. Not the one you dated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not her. She's not up for an award.
No.
Okay.
But she is in the movie Winter's Bone, so... Do your math from there. Natalie
That's
Portman
terrible.
For The Black Swan and Michelle Williams for Blue Valentine. I have no idea what that
really?
Is.
Really? Natalie Portman is up for that movie? That movie looks... Wait,
I
Brendan, did you go see it?
No, I really want to.
Oh,
I really
you...
want to see it too.
Really?
I believe she will win that category.
It just looks so boring.
Yeah, well, there's no aliens in it, so you're not going to like it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a mind bleep.
He said that he heard the first half is boring. The second half was amazingly
mind bleep.
Mind bleeping.
Yeah. Here's some mind blowing. Yeah. Jesse Eisenberg. Like, come on.
Jesse Eisenberg.
We've seen him whine in like five other movies, and you're gonna like give him an award for this one.
Who's that again?
He's the one who plays Zuckerberg.
Oh yeah.
Social Network.
Okay.
Colin Firth, James Franco, Ryan Gosling, Mark Wahlberg. But here, let me get
Wait, Mark Wahlberg?
For The Fighter, okay. Which actually looks really good as well.
Okay.
All right, here's the things I have issues with.
You're kind of blowing through these. I don't even know what these people have done.
I know. Well, because I don't want to spend too much time on them. It's not that important. I mean, I'm sure to them it is.
Probably.
But to us right here, it's not.
Probably.
For Best Motion Picture, Comedy, or Musical, Burlesque with Cher and Christina Aguilera.
Did anyone even go see that?
I know. How is that nominated?
Didn't it like come and go in like a week?
The Tourist, which right now on like Rotten Tomatoes has like a 30%.
Wow.
Yeah. The Kids Are All Right, which
I
talked about last week.
Did somebody hack the vote?
Right? I know. Alice in Wonderland.
Because I've seen bumper stickers for Rock the Vote. There may be ones out there for Hack the Vote. And they may be talking about the Golden Globes.
But I am happy that, let's see, we got...
Nothing.
Well, Johnny Depp nominated twice for The Tourist and Alice in Wonderland.
What? I didn't see that, did you? You saw that, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Angelina Jolie nominated for The Tourist. I hear that it's their acting that makes that, and not to their fault, but because of the material they were given.
Yeah.
That's what makes that movie so bad.
They're both capable actors.
Yes, they are.
So.
Kevin Spacey in some movie called Casino Jack. I have no idea what that is.
I've never even heard of that.
Both Anne Hathaway and Jake Gyllenhaal nominated for that Love and Other Drugs that just came out.
Joe Geronimo.
Right. Okay.
Please use his real name from now on.
That's all I really have. I mean, there's supportings. Michael Douglas nominated for Wall Street.
Did anyone go see that?
Right. That's a mercy nomination.
You think
right
so?
There. Yeah, wow. I do actually.
Well, who else is nominated?
Have you seen
in that
pictures
category?
Of him?
No.
As of recent?
No, he looks like a Shar Pei, though.
He looks bad.
Right?
Well, that's not very nice to say.
I know. Shar Peis are sweet.
Mila Kunis, nominated.
Okay.
For the Black Swan.
That's good.
That's it.
We
that's
like
all
her.
I really have. Let's,
we
let's,
like her.
Let's move on from that.
All right.
It has been announced that Jon Favreau will not be directing Iron Man 3.
Well, that seems odd.
Yes.
Who's going to direct it?
They do not know yet. This was just announced. Either this morning or yesterday.
Really?
Yes.
I hope this is not how he found out.
Hot topic right here. right. A Clash of the Titans sequel, Wrath of the Titans, has been given a March 30th, 2012 release date. Original cast members are expected to return.
Really?
They're expected to return. Let's see if that actually happens for the Wrath of the Titans.
It's also expected to make money and be good. We'll see if any of those things happen.
Did you like the first one? I forget.
You know, not really, only from the standpoint that there was nothing new compared to the original in terms of the story.
Uh-huh.
So I already knew what was going to happen.
Right. But now you're going to have the wrath.
Yeah, I guess.
So there's that.
I don't know. You know, it's another one of these movies that looks all pretty and is basically soulless. I don't know.
Alice in Wonderland.
Is that what that was like?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's beautiful, but it's...
It's just like it's just totally flat.
Yeah.
Totally flat.
Universal Studios is planning to remake the 1984 Stephen King film The Firestarter.
See, that seems pointless.
Right.
Although, you know, it's been a while since there's been a movie about a pyro. Because remember for a while there were like all these movies about fire?
No.
Don't you remember there was that?
You mean like in the 80s, like with Backdraft?
Yeah, Backdraft. And then there was another one like right at the same time. Remember there were like all these fire movies?
Yeah.
Then there was Firestarter, and there was Fireboy, and Fireman, and Dr. Freeze. All these crazy movies that...
Those aren't movies. They're not.
They are somewhere.
Oh, you'll love this. Ridley Scott's Alien prequel will be titled Paradise.
Like Alien Paradise, or just...
Paradise.
Just Paradise.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that could be okay.
Okay. I just wanted to see how
well,
you were
with that. Well, because isn't it... an origin story kind of thing too. We see where the
perhaps
the original ship came from that had the aliens on it.
How do you feel about Russell Crowe being in it?
Is that true?
No. It's not. But, you know, he was trying to get DiCaprio to be in a part of it, and he's not going to be.
What's her name going to be in it?
Sigourney Weaver.
Yes, where did the accent come from?
Not.
Sigourney
I have no idea. I had such a desire to do that, and I have no reason why.
Sigourney Weaver.
Not to my knowledge.
Are you practicing for your appearance on House Hunters International? Because that always seems to be the accent of the people from England. Yeah. Oh, it's a lovely house. It's got a nice garden. Did you notice they all say like the same things over and over?
Okay, here's the sign of genius gone crazy.
Okay.
The Wachowski brothers, which right there is genius gone crazy.
Right.
Are working on a modern version of Robin Hood called Hood, and it looks as if Will Smith may star.
As Robin?
Yes. As the Robin in the Hood.
Okay. Oh, I was thinking of Little Red Riding Hood.
No, Robin Hood.
Okay. Little Red Riding Hood would have been more interesting.
Actually, they've remade Little Red Riding Hood.
Yeah. Jest? It's coming out?
It hasn't come out
yet. Right? But it looks pretty creepy, right?
Yeah.
Grim.
And they're also working, you know what? This should be in here. They're also working on two different Snow White movies.
Okay.
And in one of them, Julia Roberts is going to play the Evil Queen.
Is that the one that's going to be called Blow White?
I don't get that. Blow White.
Okay, so what's the other one?
What does that mean?
Don't worry about it.
I forgot who's the one and the other one, but another big actress.
But she doesn't play Snow White. She plays the Evil Queen.
The Evil Queen, right.
Nice. That works. I like her as evil. Because I think she probably
We never
is.
See that.
Oh, I see it all the time. That's why I don't like her.
This you'll like. Kate Winslet has leaked that Sam Mendes will direct the next James Bond film, whenever that may be.
Really? Yeah. I thought it was dead.
Apparently not.
Wow.
But
wait.
Why
does Kate Winslet know this?
I think they're divorcing now, but she was married to Sam Mendes.
Oh, that's right.
She's probably going through his things.
What's this note? Whose number is this? Oh, James Bond. Never mind. James Bond? That's so cool. Maybe we should go to a counselor.
And just as I bring you up, I'm going to drop you back down.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Come on.
Adam Sandler and Kevin James will appear in Valet Guys, a comedy about valet guys. Why even bother? Adam Sandler going to learn that these
I'm
movies
I'm sure it'll spin off a
suck.
TV series and make them tons of money, and it'll run for 10 years and guest star Jim Belushi.
I mean, Kevin James, how is this much different than Mall Cop, which, by the way, they're making a sequel to?
No.
Yeah.
That movie is getting a sequel?
Yep.
I only know one person who saw that movie.
I only
know
two
people.
And he's right in the room over there.
I only know two people who saw it. Brendan saw it. What did you think? Terrible?
Absolutely awful.
Absolutely awful. The review from Brendan. Versus the review that I got from the other person who I know who saw it, who said it was hilarious.
Let me guess who that other person is. I don't know who
you remember who used to be in there?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. All right. No surprise there. Right?
Well, okay then.
I can't say any more than that. It's a touchy subject, but anyway. That's crazy.
Oh.
That's crazy talk. Adam Sandler, if you're looking for a movie role, look for something more like Big Daddy. That was the pinnacle of your comedic career.
And who's going to buy like Adam Sandler? I mean, Adam Sandler's like our age. He's got to be in like his mid-40s,
okay,
right?
Have you ever had your car valet parked before?
Yeah, it's usually young kids.
Well, it depends on where you are.
Well,
sometimes
I guess,
it's.
Guess
they,
if I'm
you
at,
know what? They,
I guess if I'm at the Shoney's in the suburbs. Yeah, it's going to be an old guy.
Really? They valet park at Shoney's? But you know, that sometimes you get a
Brandon
little crossover.
Was especially tickled by that.
You get a crossover between the valet guys and the limo drivers. So,
I don't see that. Yeah. In the city, it's all young kids.
All right. Well.
And then they bring back your car scratch and go, "I didn't do that."
Right.
Yeah.
And take no liability for it.
Right, exactly.
One time I was eating at a restaurant where I was friends with the owners.
Hooters.
And no, it was, I don't know those guys. Although I did make them change their entire menu nationally. Anyway, did I ever tell you that story?
Yes.
Okay. Just making sure.
Would you like to share it here? I mean, I know
fine. I don't care.
You threw the lead out there, so you
no,
want
I'm
me to
saying.
Bite at it? All right.
I'm just saying. So anyway, I was eating at a restaurant, a nice restaurant in Chicago, where I was friends with the owners. And when I got back to my, when the valet brought my car back, one of the windows was missing, as was my car stereo and all the stuff that had been in my trunk. And the valet guys, of course, were like, well, there's nothing we can do about it. And the guy who owned the restaurant, the husband of the husband and wife who owned the restaurant, said, just give me a second. And he went over and he said something to him. I mean, literally 10 seconds, came back and he said, they're going to cut you a check for $800 tomorrow.
Wow.
So, and I did get a check from the personal bank account of the guy who ran the parking service.
Wow.
Which was a little weird.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Those valet services are all
shady.
They're
all shady.
No, they are.
And they will use your car to make a space bigger. I've seen them do it 100 times. They take your car, they wedge it into this little space where it can't fit, and then they push it forward and push the car in front of you forward, and then they push the car and back you backwards with your car. It's like, I'm pretty sure that's not supposed to happen. But they're terrible. Terrible. I never valet park. I would rather park on the street and run out of my meter and get a $100 ticket than be valet parked in the city of Chicago.
One of the last restaurants I worked at that had valet parking, I remember a customer coming in and complaining that the valet, as he was bringing the car back up, had farted in the car. So he complained to our manager, and our manager's like, okay, well, I will talk to him about it, but really, what do you expect me to do?
Right, what do you do? Right. What kind of remedy do you want? Do you remember when we worked at the movie theater and that woman came up screaming to the person behind the concession stand that she didn't want salt on her popcorn? And the girl behind the concession stand was like, oh, I'm really sorry, I'll get you another one. She goes, I don't want another one. I want you to take the salt off of this one. It's like, how do you do that? It's salt.
You run it underwater.
It's not like it's a
exactly
maple leaf.
Exactly what I would have done.
It's not a maple leaf. You can't just pick it off. It's salt on popcorn. Oh, my God. People are so ridiculous.
Anyway.
Yeah. Is that it? Is that all we got for movies? All right, cool. We're going to take a quick... What?
Those are our valet stories.
We're going to take a quick
Apparently, they
break.
Do have a movie there.
Yeah, I guess so. We just wrote
if
it.
If I see
it.
That Adam Sandler farts in a car and gets complained about...
Yeah. Yeah. It's still going to be terrible.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about everything else. Okay, we're back, and it's time to talk about everything else in the old mashup.
Moosh, moosh.
Yes, the Gawker websites were hacked recently, prompting them to warn all users of Gizmodo, IO9, Jalopnik, Kotaku, Lifehacker, and the rest of their sites not only to change their passwords, but if they use the same email address and password combination on other sites, to make sure they change all of those as well. As a matter of fact, I got an email. Not only did I get an email from them for every one of their sites that I've posted on, but I also got one from Blizzard, because I guess so many people who go on Kotaku use the same email address and password combination for their World of Warcraft account that all these people were getting their accounts stolen. Yeah. Ridiculous. I will tell you right now, you should not use the same, unless it's a website that you really don't care about. You know, like something like that. Like, I don't care if somebody stole my account to post comments on Gizmodo. I don't care.
Right.
You know? But so sometimes I'll use the same email address and password combination for those kind of sites that I don't care about. I never use the same password for anything else.
No.
At all. Ever. I'm not just talking banks. I mean, even talking other websites that I do. Anything you care about, don't use the same password as anything else.
Right.
Because if it gets hacked, you're screwed.
You're screwed.
Yeah, exactly. A new interactive book called The Sounds of Star Wars tells the stories of how the various sounds in the movies were made, and includes digital audio in a little device attached to the side of the book so that you can hear the sounds as you're reading about it. It's really cool.
You almost got that for Christmas.
I did?
You almost got it.
You almost bought that for me?
Yeah.
Wow. It looks pretty cool.
Yeah, it is.
But I can't imagine that little thing sounds that good.
Right.
You know? But and plus, I've seen so many behind-the-scenes things that I think I've probably heard all those stories already.
Right. Which is the reason why you didn't get it. Well, I got you a book. I got you books last year, so.
Yeah.
I'm trying to change it up.
Mix it up a little bit. I was just looking through those books again yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty wild. Funny coincidence.
It's a wealth of knowledge.
It is a wealth of knowledge.
Like too much.
Maybe a little too much. The Avatar 3D Blu-ray is a Panasonic exclusive until 2012.
What?
Yeah. Well, they figure the world's going to end after that anyway, so what's the point?
But, like you...
Yeah, the only way that you can get the Avatar 3D Blu-ray is if you buy a Panasonic 3D Blu-ray player.
You're kidding.
No. I am not kidding.
That's ridiculous.
Not to Panasonic.
Well,
it's not. I read something. Actually, I didn't read something. I read a headline for something that said that gaming in 3D is what's going to convert most people. That playing games in 3D in high def is like mind-blowing.
You know, I was at Best Buy the other day, and I looked through the 3D glasses at one of those 3D TVs, and...
Nothing?
No. I mean, I saw the 3D, but like, I would want that in my house.
Yeah, I don't... unless they can do it without glasses, I'm not even remotely interested.
Right.
I'll go see movies in 3D, that's fine, but...
Now, when you go see Tron this weekend, are you going to see it in 3D?
Yeah, I will. I don't know if it's going to be this weekend. I have to wait and see what Todd's schedule is. Don't forget, everybody, that Todd, our buddy Todd Stashwick, will be joining us probably next week for another episode of the podcast. And so if you have any questions, go look him up on IMDb. If you have any questions about anything he's been in, any of the projects that he's worked on, you know, he's been in some series. He was in The Riches. He was on Heroes. He was
Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Curb Your Enthusiasm. That's right. And you know, he's got
Supernatural.
Supernatural, of course, which is a favorite of mine. And he's got this webcomic now that he does with Dennis Calero called The Devil Inside. I don't know if you've checked that out, but it's pretty good. It's pretty good. Very nice artwork.
He was in this stinker in the 80s called Never Can Tell.
What did he do in that? I forget.
That's your movie.
Oh, that movie. I mean, yeah, for some reason, I was thinking...
How did you not even remember your own movie?
I was thinking... my brain was on something else. Hey, that was a good film. Okay. That was an excellent film. He was the lead. Funny. I cast him as the lead.
Yes, you
movie.
Did.
I was just... Seriously, I was thinking of, like, this TV series that now I can't even mention because you called it a stinker. But... and I know some other people who were on that. But anyway, but so look through his IMDb and go take a look at Devil Inside and come up with some questions for him. Anything you want to know about anything he's done, he's happy to
we'll
answer
ask him.
Any and all questions.
Yeah.
As long as they're questions he doesn't want to not answer.
Which I don't see there being many of.
No, not many, no. I don't think. VW is recalling about 380,000 cars over a fire risk having to do with the potential for fuel leaks on certain models of Jetta, Jetta Sportwagon, Golf, Rabbit, and New Beetle. If you have one of those cars... If you're not on fire at the moment, take your car in to be fixed for free.
And if you have one of those cars and you are male, you should just trade it in and get a more masculine car.
Especially if the one you're driving is a Rabbit.
Or any of those.
Or a convert. Well, a Jetta's all right. And Jetta Sportwagon.
That's
on.
A girl's car.
Do you even know what that? You don't even know what that is.
I know what all those cars are.
You
They're
know what a Jetta
girl's
is.
Girl's car. Of course.
Okay. It's a Sportwagon. Nothing called Sportwagon is a girl's car. Okay.
He only says that because he has a child. If he had no child, he'd agree with me.
No, that's not true. I'm a big fan in general of the Sportwagon as a general rule.
Uh-huh.
Like, I wish that there were many more, like, sporty station wagons in this country rather than SUVs. Because you can still carry a lot in them.
Uh-huh.
They get much better mileage because they're a lot lighter than uh-huh. a truck. And really, that's it. That's why I like them better. If I had to pick just one car, any car that's manufactured on this planet, to drive as like my everyday car, that's the only car I could drive.
Yeah.
It would be an Audi A6 wagon.
There you go.
Or actually the RS6 Avant. That's what I would drive.
You're not even really sure.
But no, I am sure. You just can't buy that car here. So it'd be a little tricky.
Okay.
You know, import laws and all that.
Let's move on.
Okay. The Air Force's X-37B unmanned spacecraft touched down on a runway the other day using only its own. Let me start that over. The Air Force's X-37B unmanned spacecraft touched down on a runway the other day using only its own autopilot after 7 months in space. So basically, this thing is sort of like a unmanned space shuttle mm-hmm. that went up into space, flew around in space, and then landed all by itself.
How does it know to dodge birds?
There's no birds in space, angry or otherwise.
Fair enough.
A company called Kaleidoscape has introduced a 100-disc Blu-ray server for $1,500, which seems kind of crazy when you figure that Sony's BDP CX960 holds 400 Blu-rays or DVDs or CDs or any combination of those for about $600. Doesn't that seem like a waste of money?
Extremely.
Except maybe it rips them and streams them across your home network. And if it does it automatically, then that might be worth, you know, $900 of your time. I don't know. Do you need to pause?
No.
Are you good? Get it?
Yes.
Pause. See how I work that in there?
Yep.
Pope Benedict is supposedly interested in replacing his funky Mercedes Popemobile with something solar-powered. Presumably, something that would charge batteries with solar power and then run on electricity.
Right.
I don't think you're going to get enough power for from solar power to actually run the car directly, probably. That press conference that NASA held a couple weeks ago was to announce their discovery of a bacteria that uses arsenic to survive rather than phosphorus. But they didn't find it on Titan. Oh, no. They found it right here on Earth.
Ah.
Which is crazy. The reason that's important is because when people are looking for signs of life on other worlds, they always think, well, you have to have this, you have to have this, you have to have this, otherwise life can't survive. Well, now we have
another definition for what makes life. Right.
And so now they can look for life in other
places. Why don't they look for something moving?
That's usually where I would start.
Yeah.
Right. Something moving, giving off a heat signature, you know, something like that. Your basic Star Trek 101. An IBM supercomputer called Watson will be a contestant on Jeopardy in February. It'll go up against the show's two most accomplished players, Ken Jennings and Brad Rutter, on the 14th, 15th, and 16th. Watson is designed to understand and answer questions using advanced artificial intelligence, so it'll be quite interesting to see how it fares against the humans. Don't you think that's kind of weird?
I don't get it. I mean, couldn't it? Okay. What's it going to do? No, I mean, because obviously you can just put anything into a computer and get the answer.
No, it's going to listen to them asking the questions and answer them by itself with no human intervention. That's the whole thing. It's actually going to listen to Alex Trebek, of all people.
Well, you know, some of those questions are like based in pun and everything. So
that's the whole point, is that this thing is designed to actually understand what somebody's saying and respond intelligently. So I have a feeling it's not going to do very well. I'm sure they're testing the hell out of this thing.
When is this month?
February, which is not this month. Oh. This month is December. But I don't think it's going to do well. I just can't see, because if those guys are like the two best players that Jeopardy has ever had, I don't see that the computer is going to be able to process the questions
fast enough.
I think it'll be able to find answers fast enough. I mean, obviously they've been testing this thing.
Right.
I mean, don't forget they brought Big Blue in to beat the world chess champion, and they did. But that's a slow-paced thing.
Right.
You know, Jeopardy is kind of fast-paced. So, I don't know.
They'll put a delay on the other buzzers.
Well, I'm pretty sure that would be considered cheating. Or maybe the computer will just shock them every time they go to answer. The Chameleon X1 is a new mouse made by a company called Shogun Brothers that has a full gamepad on the bottom if you turn it over.
Cool.
So you hold it like this, it's a mouse, you flip it over, it's got a gamepad on it.
Very cool.
Isn't that cool? I don't know how all the buttons don't hit the table when you're using the mouse, though. Some kind of trickery involved there, I think. A man named Timothy Ray Brown has been officially classified as being cured of HIV. Brown underwent a stem cell treatment that caused the donor cells to repopulate his system, and he now shows no signs of HIV whatsoever. The experimental treatment was extremely risky, but it opens the door to other such treatments, potentially for a wide range of diseases. That's amazing.
It is amazing, but what you don't have here is that he underwent a stem cell transplant.
Yeah, like a stem cell. I did say that.
You put treatment.
Well, that was the treatment. The treatment was a...
I know, but I'm being
like
more specific.
It was like a transfusion almost, but of stem cells. And I guess from what I read in the article, I guess, you know, like with any diseases, there are certain cells in certain people that are more resistant to those diseases.
Mm-hmm.
So the bone marrow donor was one who had stuff in his cells that was naturally more resistant to HIV. Mm-hmm. And so they think that's partially why it worked. But I just thought that was a pretty cool story. All the genetic stuff is amazing to me. And I just read some article last night that by probably a crazy person, who said that it was like this guy who used to write all these articles.
I'm already out.
About like UFOs and paranormal stuff. And he had all these things in his list of, you know, did you know that? You know, and then there was things like, you know, FDR signed a treaty with the aliens in, you know, 19 whatever and stuff like that. And one of them was, we invaded Iraq to capture a Stargate. It's like, oh, so now all of a sudden a thing that was a plot device in a fiction movie is a real thing that we went to war for.
But yet you keep going back to this website to read what this wackadoo has to say.
The guy's really entertaining. the Navy has a new electromagnetic railgun that can hit a target from 100 miles away with pinpoint accuracy.
Come on.
Pinpoint accuracy. 2 years ago, the range was 13 miles. Now it's 100 miles. They want to get it to 200 miles before they put it into service. And it's way cheaper to produce and develop and use than like missiles, because it's it's just pieces of metal that get shot out of it.
Wow.
It's not explosive or anything. It's just that they're going so fast. It goes 7 times the speed of sound. That's how fast the things are moving.
That's amazing.
Isn't that wild?
Mm-hmm.
So at 100 miles, it takes 6 minutes for the thing to hit its target. But still, that's probably faster than a rocket.
How does it not lose any of its momentum?
Well, it's all like computer controlled and everything, and it's all they figure all the physics into it.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Ah.
In other words, they aim it.
Right.
I'm just saying. That's crazy, though. 100 miles away? Oh, you just get struck dead by a metal pellet from 100 miles away.
I really
away.
Want Never you to even... get to this last item.
Oh, I'm not there yet. I got one more. China's Harmony commercial bullet train has set the record as the fastest unmodified such train in the world at 302 miles an hour. Do you think that it's safe to go 300 miles an hour on a train? Doesn't seem like that would be safe.
You're on rails. It's fine.
Okay, fine. Crazy person George Lucas, finally. Crazy person George Lucas is buying the film rights to dead actors so that he can resurrect them digitally to put them in more completely awful Star
that's,
Wars sequels.
He said that's his reason?
No. Oh. He just wants to be able to make movies with people who are already dead.
That's ridiculous.
I said he's a crazy person. Don't you think that's stupid?
Absolutely.
And how many people are going to let that happen? Like the estates of these people, how are they going to, are they going to be okay with that? I guess if he pays them enough.
Sure.
You know, whatever. Anyway, now as always, it is that time of the program when we reveal our votes for the best and worst entertainment moments of the week. Tony, please give us your worst.
You know what? It's been hard to come up with a worst, so I'm going to give one of your vague, ambiguous worst entertainment moments of the week.
Thanks for that plug.
Looking over the Golden Globe nominations, I'm going to go with just the bad, bad movie choices that we've had this year. It's a really bad one, isn't it?
Yeah. No, it's fine. It's perfectly acceptable.
And I'm going to lump that in with the bad video game choices we've had this year.
Yeah.
I can't, well, say, I can't say that about TV.
No, there's been good TV this year. But, yeah, what were, like, the biggest
there's
movies
been, I mean,
year?
Look at these movies that are, like, up for, like, best film of the year. Come on, The Social Network? I'd much rather see Inception get it than that.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen, though.
The Social Network had nothing, like, suspenseful, had nothing surprising. It had nothing, you know, just it told a story that was, like, mildly interesting.
A story about a dirtbag. Yeah. Complete and utter dirtbag.
Which is mildly interesting.
Right. Well, that's actually going to be a good segue into my worst entertainment moment of the week, which
exactly
is
exactly why I did it.
Mark Zuckerberg has been named Time Magazine's Man of the Year. Now, I'm not as offended by this as I was earlier today, because I forgot that Time Magazine's Man of the Year is not like, yay, you're the best.
Yeah.
More like just the most noteworthy for right. some reason. Because you pointed out that one year, was it 2001?
I don't know exactly. Let me.
That Osama bin Laden.
I know for sure. Well, I don't know that Osama bin Laden for
oh,
sure,
I
but
you
I know
said.
I know Hitler for sure.
Oh. I thought you said bin Laden was.
It's either bin Laden or Hussein. Hold on.
Saddam Hussein. I almost want to say I remember Saddam Hussein being Man of the Year once. But anyway, it's not that they're necessarily the greatest person on earth, just that they're noteworthy that year for some reason. Right?
Yes.
Isn't that the deal? So I guess from that standpoint, I'm not as annoyed, but I don't want him or the Facebook to get any more publicity than they've already gotten. I'm irritated by that. Because the guy's a dirtbag.
I was wrong on both counts.
Oh, thanks.
But George W. Bush was in 2000, so, I mean... No, I'm being serious. In 2006, it was you.
Me?
No.
Just you in general?
Yeah.
Why? Why?
I don't know.
Really?
Yeah.
That's kind of weird. Was it because of the internet and everything that you can do online and all that kind
Maybe.
Of stuff?
The computer was 1982.
Yeah.
That's not even a person.
No. Unless you count Edgar from Electric Dreams.
You know, they always pick a president. I'm noticing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
President Saddam Hussein.
They actually picked George Bush twice.
President
W. Bush.
President Mark Zuckerberg.
President
One computer.
One day. But
who was last year's?
I wasn't going to mention because I don't know who it is. Ben Bernanke? Brendan? Ben Bernanke? Uh-huh.
That answers that question.
The year before it was Barack Obama. The year before was Vladimir Putin.
Okay.
Then before that, it was you.
Does it make you laugh to say Vladimir Putin?
And before that, it was Bill Gates, Melinda Gates, and Bono.
I didn't know they. I didn't know they were having a three-way. The three of them together were Man of the Year.
Yeah.
I wonder how Melinda Gates feels about that.
It had something to do with all their
charitable work. Yeah.
Ben Bernanke.
I'm sorry, Bono's charitable work always seems so completely self-serving to me.
Not at all.
Yeah, totally.
No, then you don't know anything about Bono he's or an
attention,
his charity
work. He's an attention whore, that guy. I'm just saying.
Ben Bernanke is an American economist and chairman of the United States Federal Reserve.
Oh, the man we love to hate.
Okay.
Federal Reserve is evil. They're the most evil force on the planet.
All right.
Well, you know, except for like witches.
And Osama bin Laden.
Well, we don't even know where that guy is. We got to run some more tests first. All right. What about your best entertainment moment of the week?
I'm going to go with Walking Dead.
Yeah.
It was perfect for me. I couldn't have asked for it to be any better. It wrapped it up just enough that it was, sure, we're wondering where they're going, but it wrapped it up enough that I'm satisfied with it, and I'm not like, oh, I can't believe they left me hanging.
Right.
I feel it kept its pace and emotion through the whole six episodes.
Yeah.
All the way up to the end.
Yeah.
I thought it was great, and I really think, I know I've said this before, but I think it's the best TV show since the first season of Lost.
Wow.
I said it.
You did say it. You really think it's that good?
Yes, wow. I really do.
Wow. I think I'm really excited to find out what you think of Fringe once you get into it.
And I will get
into
it.
The Fringe season finale was absolutely fantastic.
They already have season. Oh, yeah. That's
you know, the mid-season, mid-season finale. Absolutely fantastic. And I think actually my best entertainment moment of the week is probably going to go to Stargate Universe.
Ah.
Because their mid-season finale was so good. They stumble upon what looks like the wreckage of a space battle. And now keep in mind in this show, it's not like the other Stargate shows where it's, you know, enemy of the week kind of thing.
Boring.
I don't know what you're saying that about. The other shows or this show?
You said it's not like the other shows where it's... And
that's
I said
rude. You've never even seen it.
I know.
So it's not like the other shows where it's like Monster of the Week, Alien of the Week, Enemy of the Week kind of thing. It's a much more, you know, thoughtful show. And
I've had periods of my life like that, by the way.
I'll bet you have. And, ooh, there's a raccoon walking around out there. Careful, it's probably got rabies. Isn't that just like a dad thing to say? You see a wild animal walking around during the daytime.
How easily
like,
did...
Careful, it's got... Well, it's right out there.
Where's your ADD coming from?
It was right out there.
Finish your sentence.
It was right out there. So anyway, so they come across a space battle, and they go over to the biggest ship that's there, which is one of the... Well, I'm not going to say. Anyway, so they go over to this other ship.
The super ship.
No, it's just a ship that they don't recognize.
Oh.
And so they... A couple of people take a shuttle over and they go board it. And meanwhile, they realize that not everything in this field of debris is destroyed. And all of a sudden, all these little drones start coming online and they start attacking the Destiny. And they think they're doomed because these things are like, you know, kicking the crap out of them. Because there's a ton of them. They're like flying around. They're small. They're fast. You know, they're getting all these shots in. And so they think they're doomed. And all of a sudden... The guy played by Lou Diamond Phillips, I can't remember his character's name right now. All of a sudden, he comes out of hyperspace.
Richie Valens.
No, that's a different movie. comes out of hyperspace in the seed ship, which they thought he was dead. But he comes out of hyperspace, and he has an idea of how to shake the bad guys, the drones.
Uh-huh.
And so they get rid of them, and then they jump into hyperspace, and they come out of hyperspace, and all of a sudden, there's all these enemy ships around him, and that's where it ends. And it was really cool because you don't see a lot of big space battles on TV in general.
Right.
And even on that show, you don't see a lot of that stuff because, again, it's a much more internal show. But it was a really fantastic episode. Really great.
Wow.
One of their best. But both Fringe and Stargate Universe had awesome mid-season finales. Awesome. Good shows.
Good shows.
I really am. I'm really looking forward to see what you think of Fringe.
I will check it out. Lou has given me for Christmas the first season of Fringe on Blu-ray.
And Tony gave me the Alien Anthology on Blu-ray, which I'm very excited about. I love those Alien movies. I'll tell you right now.
I know you do.
They got spaceships. They got aliens.
And they got Sigourney Weaver.
Sigourney Weaver. She's got a lovely garden. She probably does.
I'm sure she
would
does.
She seems like the type who would have a lovely garden.
And wear a big hat while she's out there.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. One of those big sun hats. Uh-huh. Wearing gloves. Sitting on one of those little things and working the weed weasel. I have no idea what I'm talking about. Is there even such a thing? Is there such a thing as a weed weasel?
Oh, yes, there is.
Does it make a perfect holiday gift? Oh, you're talking about something else, aren't you? Oh, boy. So I think that's it. You got
that's
anything
it.
Else?
No, that's it. But we haven't really discussed this off the air, so we'll discuss it on there. End of the year, you want to do it next episode? No, next episode is Todd.
Right.
So the following episode will be end of year.
Okay, sure. Or we can talk about some of that when he's here if you want to. Whatever.
Okay.
Because I'm sure he'd like to get involved in that. So don't forget, send in your questions for Todd. Look through his IMDb. Check out The Devil Inside at toddstashwick.com and come up with some good questions for him, and we will make sure they get answered.
And also, we will all have seen Tron Legacy by the
next episode. We'll be talking about
that. So we'll... devote some time to that. So please let us know what if you have seen it, please let us know what you thought about it, and we'll include it in our conversation.
Right, but no spoilers, please.
Yes, and, please, no spoilers.
Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes and go to Facebook where you can like us and become a fan of our thing. And
keep spreading the word because...
Here's what happens. If you spread the word, you spread the joy and you spread the love. And that's what we're all about. Right? It's Christmas. You got to be that way.
Okay.
All right, cool. Thanks as always for listening, and we will see you next time.
Bye.